Turn with me now to the book of Romans. Never preached a homily before, so it's kind of exciting. The book of Romans. And we'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. The title of this address is From Thankless to Thankful. And there's a lot of conceptions about what it means to be thankful, or what the act of thanksgiving is abroad in our modern culture. And so this evening our goal will be to look to the Word of God to direct us how to be truly thankful, and what the act of thanksgiving truly entails. And so let us read together, first of all, from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Let us hear now the Word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let us pray together briefly. Father, guide us by Your Spirit as we look now to Your Word, and teach us to be truly thankful men and women unto You, our God, who is blessed forever. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may not know this, but the celebration of Thanksgiving in the United States isn't simply a matter of national tradition. Each year, the president of our country actually issues a proclamation setting apart one day as a day of thanksgiving, a national day to be observed by all citizens of the country. The first Thanksgiving Day proclamation was issued November 1st, 1777, and we've been doing this as a nation ever since. And this is a good and a right exercise of the president's authority over the nation. And we're gathered here this evening inasmuch as the call of our president to give thanks corresponds to a degree with the Bible's call to give thanks. And so with respect and with obedience to his leadership, it is truly a good thing for us as a church now to gather together on this occasion to give thanks to the Lord. However, we must be honest and clear about where we fall short as a nation. So we think about this act of thanksgiving, what it means to be thankful. Tomorrow evening, as we gather together with family and with friends all across the nation, the most likely topic of discussion if the conversation touches upon thankfulness at all, will be to talk about what we are thankful for. People might even go around the table and share with one another something that they are thankful for as they think back upon the last year. But there will be another topic of discussion that will receive little to no conversation. Who we are thankful to. And that silence will be deafening. Who are we thankful to? When we think about the act of thanksgiving, it's an act of giving thanks. It only has meaning within the concept of relationship. One person giving thanks to another. Do we just throw our thanksgiving up in the air and hope that it lands in the right place? You see, simply being thankful for things actually falls far short of what constitutes true thanksgiving. Thankfulness is something that is communicated from one person to another. Simply to be thankful for something in the abstract doesn't meet with the biblical requirements of what is truly thanksgiving. The Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, He is the giver of every perfect gift. Everything that we have to be thankful for comes from His hand. If you are here tonight thankful for family and thankful for friends and thankful for all the pleasant and good things of this life, all of these things are gifts from God. And if we are to express a true thanksgiving, all of our thankfulness must ultimately terminate on the Lord God Himself as the one from whose hand we have received every blessing that we possess. Being thankful for something is ultimately a vacuous sentiment unless you're actually thankful to the person who is responsible for giving you that blessing for which you are thankful. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. What does Paul tell us in our text from Romans chapter 1? He tells us that God is clearly revealing Himself in the created world. In His acts of creation and in His acts of providence, God has clearly made Himself known to all of His image-bearing creatures. And yet, what do we do with that knowledge? In our unregenerate state, we suppress that knowledge in unrighteousness. Without the Holy Spirit giving us life, we are so in love with our sin and with our unbelief that we delight to believe anything except the truth about who God is and what He requires of us. And did you notice the role that thanksgiving plays in Romans chapter 1? God's invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, are written all over our lives. And yet we refuse to honor Him or give thanks to Him. We know that God is the one to whom all our thanks must ultimately be given, the one before whom we stand and to whom we must ultimately give account. But in our sin and in our unbelief, we refuse Him His right. Martin Luther has a pithy quote about gratitude, or rather, ingratitude. Unthankfulness is theft. A typical Luther fashion. Unthankfulness is theft. And it's theft because we are stealing from God the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanksgiving due to Him alone. Being thankful for things doesn't by itself constitute true thankfulness. True thanksgiving only takes place when the one who has given you the things for which you are thankful is duly honored and actually thanked with reverence, with praise, with adoration. Imagine going to a friend's birthday party and giving them a present that you had especially picked out just for them. And your friend rips open the packaging, and when he realizes what it is, a huge smile breaks out across his face and joy lightens his countenance. And then, without saying a word to you, he turns his back to you and proceeds to go around to all the other people in the room, telling them how thankful he is for this gift, exclaiming with exuberance, "I'm so thankful for this gift that I have," but never actually thanking you. You, the one who gave him the gift, but never even acknowledging your existence after he has taken that gift from your very hand. And this is something of the scenario that is shown to us here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Men and women receiving gift after gift from God's hand, seeing his invisible attributes written all over life itself, and yet refusing to honor him and refusing to give him thanks. And sadly, this is the scenario that will be played out all across the country tomorrow. And sadly, Thanksgiving Day will only serve to manifest our profound unthankfulness to the Lord, even our profound contempt of his majesty. The one nationally recognized and set apart day of thanksgiving, and the voice of our nation will be virtually silent in giving praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving to the triune God. At the end of the day, for all of our being thankful for things, who will we ultimately be giving thanks to as a nation? Well, in failing to give thanks to the Lord, all we'll be left with is ourselves. Ultimately, we will be giving thanks to ourselves. And isn't this exactly what Paul says is the outcome of our thanklessness? Chapter 1 and verse 22. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And so what must we do? If unthankfulness is theft, we could also just as well say that unthankfulness is idolatry. It's stealing what rightfully belongs to the Lord and then claiming it for ourselves, worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. But you see, something wonderful happens when you are saved by Christ. A wonderful change takes place when you are made alive by the Holy Spirit. You are translated from a state of thanklessness to a state of thankfulness. Hence the title of the sermonette, From Thankless to Thankful. One of the most fundamental transitions that takes place in the life of a new believer is for that person, for the first time in their life, to finally be equipped to truly give thanks to the Lord. No more suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. No more idolatrous thanklessness. You are now clear about the most fundamental reality of life. You are the creature, God Almighty is the Creator. Every blessing comes from His hand, and in Him you live and you move and you have your being. And so you are to honor Him and to give Him thanks. And not only do you now know the Lord God truly as your Creator, but you have all the more infinite reason to give Him thanks because you know Him also as your Redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been redeemed from death and from hell by the precious blood of Christ. And so the Christian is to be soaked and to be saturated in thanksgiving to the Lord. Thanksgiving is now one of the most basic realities of your life as a Christian believer. To meditate on this just a little more before we close, turn with me now to Colossians chapter 3. Paul's epistle to the Colossians chapter 3, and read with me beginning in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Every aspect of the Christian life is to be fueled and motivated by thanksgiving. The theme of thanksgiving is woven throughout the text. You are called to be thankful, with thankfulness in your hearts to God, giving thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus. Thankfulness for the grace of God is to be the wellspring of praise within your heart. And thankfulness to God for His grace is to be the ultimate goal of all that you do. Just as unthankfulness is ultimately idolatry, so too true Christ-honoring thankfulness is an act of worship. For all of us who have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator, may thanksgiving not simply be something we give passing thought to once a year. May it be a manner of life and a wellspring of praise and adoration in all that we do every day of our lives, whether in thought or word or deed. And so let us answer the call of our president to set apart a day of national thanksgiving. But as Christian believers, let us celebrate this day biblically and see it as a profoundly spiritual act of thanksgiving in which we are involved. If there's going to be a national day of thanksgiving, let us not be pressed into the mold of an unbelieving and idolatrous culture, to use this day as another opportunity to bow down and serve the creature rather than the Creator. But let us give thanks to God for His grace. Let us thank Him for the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for saving us by His mighty hand and outstretched arm, for Jesus' blessed work of salvation, and for His constant care, protection, and mediation for all those who call upon Him in faith. And let us pray all the more fervently for our nation. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit would convict our nation concerning our idolatry and concerning our thanklessness, and that the Spirit would open our eyes to see the grace and the glory of the One from whom all blessings flow. And let us pray that our witness to the truth of the gospel will be adorned by a profound thankfulness by God's grace. And let us endeavor in the name and by the strength of our exalted Savior to demonstrate to the world what true thanksgiving looks like. not only thankfulness for things, but first and last, thankfulness to God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Consummator of all things, when Jesus comes again in glory. Let us pray. Gracious Father, forgive us, Lord, when we do not give to you thanks with all of our heart as we think about the blessings you have poured out upon us in Christ. And Lord, equip us as your people. Equip your church throughout this nation to celebrate this day with a truly spiritual thanksgiving that looks beyond simply the material things of life and embraces you, our God, as the giver of every true gift, and looks to you alone as the source of all joy, all blessing, all mercy, and all grace. And Father, may your people be thankful not simply on this day, but every second of every day that you are pleased to give us breath in this life, may we be, by your grace, a truly thankful people. And may that thankfulness be the wellspring of all of our praise and adoration and obedience as we rest upon the salvation of Jesus Christ, upon his finished work, and seek to glorify his name and to see him exalted in all the earth. Father, bless your people for your glory and exalt the name of your Son in the power of the Spirit. For we do pray for his sake and in his name. Amen.